Thank you. We have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread that represents the body of Christ Jesus that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And we have the cup that represents his shed blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Let us give thanks for the bread. O kind Father in heaven, we are so grateful and so thankful for the body of Christ Jesus that hung on the cross of Calvary. We're so grateful and thankful and honored to partake of this bread in his memory. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for this privilege that we have to partake of this cup that represents the blood of Christ Jesus and his new covenant. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning is Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And there went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day and for your blessings. As we open your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray that we apply what has been taught to our lives. Continue to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning I want to talk about a sacrifice of a godly mother. Today is Mother's Day. Mothers are incredibly important for so many different reasons, and today is the day that we celebrate all they do for us and all that we forget to do for them. Even though being a mom can be the greatest and most rewarding privilege there is, it's still tough. While Mother's Day can be a very happy, joyous day, It can also be a very sad day. Not everybody looks forward to Mother's Day. Maybe you had recently lost your mother, and you're experiencing the pain of your loss. Maybe you have lost a child, and your heart grieves on Mother's Day. Maybe you are having difficulties with your mother, and your mother wasn't the ideal mother we like to preach about. And you had bad memories of your mother. Maybe you had some guilt feelings about your motherhood and having children problems and marriage problems. Maybe you were not able to have children, and Mother's Day isn't a joyous occasion for you. Maybe you never had a real mother and were raised in a foster home or by relatives. Maybe you are a single mom and are struggling with being a good mother to your children. Today, I want to encourage each of you, especially the mothers. God doesn't bless you with motherhood and then leave you to hang out to dry. He's given you his word to encourage you, to help you, to bless you, to comfort you, and give you directions. And I like to look this morning at an example of a godly mother and try to unpack a couple of foundations to being a godly mother. Turn with me again, if you will, to Exodus chapter 2. And so before we look at this chapter, we want to first of all look at the background to this story. The Hebrews were living in the land of Egypt in captivity. They had grown in numbers, and the Pharaoh was getting nervous that they would outnumber and overthrow the Egyptians. To prevent this, a decree had gone out from the throne of Pharaoh that every male child born to a Hebrew was to be thrown into the Nile and drowned, Exodus 1 and verse 22. And Moses' birth mother, Jochebed, was a Hebrew woman in Exodus 6 and verse 20. Jochebed means Jehovah is glory. Her husband's name was Amram, which means exalted people. Jochebed was from the tribe of Levi, from which would come the priests and those who would carry out the duties of the tabernacle and later of the temple. She and her husband Amram were evidently very dedicated and religious people. They were willing to defy the orders of Pharaoh and keep the commandments of God. Thus, she had a choice to make. The society in which she lived made it virtually impossible to keep her child, and she could have decided to simply allow her child to be thrown away. I mean, her son was not wanted. She could have chosen death, the easy choice, but she chose life instead. So what can we learn from this godly mother? Number one, godly mothers trust God. It's not hard to see that Jochebed trusted God. Can you imagine the scene? Here's this young mother knowing that she could no longer keep her baby hidden from the authorities, weaving together what could very well be her young boy's coffin. It's not like that she could head out to Walmart or Joanne and pick up a basket. She would have spent much time in prayer and contemplation, carefully assembling it. But in verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. When you look at the word ark, it was a basket vessel in which Moses was placed. Bulrushes, it was a papyrus. It was a material made in ancient Egypt from the stem of a kind of water plant used for writing or painting on. She dabbed it with slime. It was asphalt or tar, and because the basket was made watertight and it was floatable. The basket was a symbol of her trust in God. She was not content to simply let the Egyptians throw Moses into the Nile to be eaten by crocodiles. She trusted that God would take care of him, and as we read later, her trust, her faith is rewarded. What a clear picture of the Christian life. In this world, we are in reality blind about what course to take. We must rely solely on the word of the only one who really sees, and that's God himself. His word gives us the direction we need to finish the course. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Mothers, my question to you this morning is, do you trust God? Jochebed stood on a promise that God was her God, the God of her fathers and her people she trusted, and that trust was rewarded. As Moses' sister Miriam watched the scene at the river, she approached Pharaoh's daughter and asked in verse 7, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" We see that acts of faith and trust are rewarded. We read in Romans that Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. And as I think about all the mothers of grandmothers, of great-grandmothers, I like to tell you that the promise is for you as well. That if you trust in the Lord, he will direct your paths and be with you always. Just as he said to Abraham in Genesis 17, and verse 7, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants and after you for the generation to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." We as believers are grafted into this covenant, and we all can also stand on the promises. But we need to believe, we need to have faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross. We need to place our trust where it belongs. So a godly mother trusts God. But then secondly, a godly mother teaches God. In Deuteronomy 6, which was penned by Moses, he talks about teaching the love and the fear of the Lord. In verse number 4, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." We need to teach our children and our grandchildren who Jesus is and why he is important. We need Christ to be part of our everyday conversation and for him to be the reason we do what we do. And our children need to see our faith. We don't have much more in our text that specifically tells us how or what Jochebed taught Moses. But we do know that he knew he was a Hebrew and that he knew God. Our mothers teach so much, compassion and care and sacrifice. And when we look around at the church today, teens are leaving the church in droves. The home is 2 to 3 times more effective in reaching and teaching than any preaching or church programs. Have you ever seen a little girl putting on mother's shoes and makeup? Or a little boy wearing his father's shirt and tie? Parents, grandparents, our children do what they see in us. And it's hard truth, but every home is teaching the children and teens in its religion. Every home is a church. A godly mother who teaches God is like a candle lighting the way for the future, preparing the young to be turned over to God. Which brings me to my final point, that a godly mother turns over to God. When Jochebed did all she could do, She had trusted God for Moses, placed him in a small basket, and into the Lord's hands she had taught Moses, shedding light on who he was, who his people were, and who God was. She came to a point in time where she had to release Moses. You got to recognize your parental limits. There is a limit to how much you can protect your child or your children. Jochebed couldn't hide Moses all his life. But all of his of life is preparing your children to leave. A man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. You will be limited in how much you can protect them, but you can continually prepare children to face life. There is a limit to how much you can provide your child or children. Picture with me, if you will, a balloon. Now, if the balloon represents the life of a child, we could say that we trust that it would one day serve the purpose they were created for. We could say that by filling it, we are encouraging them or teaching how they should be. And like blowing air into a balloon, sometimes you have to force that knowledge in. But eventually, you're going to have to release the balloon, turn them over, if you will. In the world of the Egyptians, Jochebed was releasing her son into a world that was against God and his people. This is sadly too much like what we release our children into. We release them into a world that doesn't believe in God or has the wrong belief, into a world that will warp and corrupt their minds, a world that tells them that it's okay to do whatever they want as long as it feels good. This world will put us down into the pit of hell if we are not filled properly. Our children will be filled. Mothers, you will feel them, but at some point, you got to let them go. Turn them over. The question is, when you turn them over, will they be pulled down into the godliness of this world, or will they become the beacon, the leaders, the examples, the God-fearing, Christ-centered adult you prayed they would be? Well, I guess it depends on what you fill them with. If we fill them with the same thing that the world is teaching, we can't be surprised when they decide they want to join the world. But if we fill them with something better, we can watch them rise above in the love of Christ. Prepare them with love. Jochebed loved Moses and trusted God enough to face the Pharaoh. Prepare them with truth. The greatest way to prepare your children for the world is to share Jesus Christ with them. The greatest joy outside of their birth would be you directing them to Jesus and their rebirth. In John 3 and verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Some of you that's listening to me today, maybe you are under a burden that God wants to relieve you of. You may have lost a child and wondering what you did wrong. Your child may be trapped in a destructive lifestyle. There is a limit to what you can protect your child from. There are decisions that destroy and leave them being devoured by desires and the devil. But Jesus Christ came to set you free of the burden of their bad decisions. This is what Jochebed did. She trusted God, she taught God, and she turned it over to God. And so if you're listening this morning, have not obeyed the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once you hear the word, the gospel, believe it to be true. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. Then you have to be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. The Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. The church he built, Matthew 16, 18. Purchased with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. He is the head, the Savior. He loved it and coming back for it. Ephesians 5, 23 and 27. Live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you're already a child of God, you straight away, having not been living as a Christian should, if you desire prayer, if you want to know more about the Church of Christ, whatever your desire is, call us at 734-482-4922. Or you can call the building and leave a message, 734-483-1864. We are here to assist you in any way we can. We'll have two more songs and then a closing prayer.
Thank you. most righteous and all-wise God, we bow before thee, Father, for your love, for your kindness, for your tender mercies, we offer our thanks. Father, may thy blessings be upon those who are sick, if it is thy will to restore them to their much-wanted health. We pray for the church, Father, and for what it means to each of us. Father, we pray that you remove and cast away the plague that is besieging this nation and the world. Let it be stopped in its tracks and placed under spiritual arrest, ending the destruction of so many lives. And Father, we ask that you allow the immune systems of those stricken with the virus to do what you created those systems to do. Fight off diseases, fight off infections, those things that come against the body. We ask that you send your healing spirit to help those who are suffering. Father, please continue to smile down upon us and give us all of thy love. We ask forgiveness of our sins as we do repent and turn from them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.